This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up, New Orleans. It is time for Saints game day. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele taking you to the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, which will start at 10 a.m. and then kickoff in MetLife Stadium between the Giants and Saints with Deuce McAllister, Mike Hoss on the call, happening at high noon. And hopefully it's a little bit warmer there today. I know the upper northeast area there is dealing with some chilly temperatures. We'll check in with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak in the second hour, get an idea of what it's like there in the stadium. I know MetLife has a tendency to have those swirling winds inside, so curious to know what the flags are up to today on top those field goal posts as these teams get ready to square off. And, well, guys, not a very sexy matchup when you have a 4-8 squad versus a 2-10 New York Giants squad. But, you know, the playoff hopes and dreams are still slightly alive for the Saints. So we're still kind of invested in trying to win the NFC South. As, you know, I know it seems unlikely, but it's still possible.
You got to win this game. I mean, that's
got to win one to win two, right?
You know, the Giants are so bad. They're 2-10. They're a disaster. And let's start with, you know, the injury update. Malik Nabers, what popped up, a hip flexor injury on Thursday. He didn't practice on Friday.
Yeah.
ESPN's Adam Schefter tweeted last night that he's going to try to play. It's a groin issue that's apparently been lingering for him, but he'll try to play versus the Saints this afternoon. But he's basically going to be a game-time decision. It's game warm-ups. He'll see how he's kind of feeling. And according to Schefter, who tweeted this morning, they're not going to be shutting him down for the year, basically. And he's been a gigantic bright spot. The former first-round pick out of LSU leads the team in basically every kind of receiving category as far as receptions and targets and yards. He's got 116 targets on the year, Steve. That's a ton, especially for a rookie. 75 receptions, 740 yards.
Feed your first-round pick, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been the guy, right, on their offense. And their offense has really struggled this year. You know, we all know what happened with Daniel Jones in the quarterback situation. Drew Lock is going to be playing QB for them, just like he did on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. So their QB situation is no bueno. They're looking to the 2025 draft for their QB. But as far as Malik Nabers, it's been a stud for him. Tyrone Tracy, another rookie, the running back, has been really solid for him this year. But it's like, how many pieces do they really have that scare you, right?
Right.
And there's a reason that they're 2-10.
Looking at our LCMC Health update, LCMC Health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. For the Saints, out this game is Nick Saldiveri. He's dealing with a knee issue. Also, Bub Means was limited on Wednesday and then didn't practice Thursday and Friday as he's trying to come back from an ankle issue. Saints being super cautious with him. He is also out for this matchup. Questionable for this game, Tano Passanio, who was a full go at practice all week. They're still being cautious with the defensive lineman as he's coming back from an Achilles injury. And then one I am anxious for today, Charlie and Cullen, Kendra Miller, the running back. Hamstring issue, was a full go at practice all week. He is questionable for this game, but I think you, me, everybody knows this is like do or die time for Kendry, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he has and what he can put on the field today, and if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I used it for the Sunday Sports today when I was recording last night with the Kendry Miller. Darren Rizzi said it's been a very frustrating year for him, been a very frustrating year for the organization.
They want a training
camp. Very frustrating year for fans when it comes to Kendry Miller, because they know the talent that the kid has. There's a reason they took him in the third round. He just can't stay healthy. So there was all this kind of buzz as well that he didn't think he deserved to be put on IR after suffering that hamstring injury, I believe, versus the Chargers. So apparently, I mean, Rizzi said it on the Saints coaches show this past week that he's quote-unquote chomping at the bit to get back, and he really wants to prove himself. And what better opponent to do against this Giants defense? The Giants defense is not good against the pass, and it's not good against the run. And once again, it's the reason that they're 2-10 this year.
Sadly, when, yeah, you look at yards per carry given up, the Saints and G-men are tied right there at the bottom of the NFL.
Yeah, but as far as total yards per game allowed, the Saints defense hasn't been good either. As you mentioned, ranks 25th in the NFL, 136 yards allowed per game. But the Giants are even worse. They're at 145.8 yards per game, which is 28th. So, you know, like, you're hoping that the Saints' rushing attack can get some things going and the offensive line can kind of establish some dominance at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
That Alvin can get going. And that Kendry, when Alvin needs to be spelled, Kendry can hop in and have a really nice day. This is a Giants defensive line that already wasn't good against stopping the run, but they lost their best run stuffer in Dexter Lawrence, their nose tackle.
Huge.
A superstar player. A guy that's great against the run and great against the pass. And now he's out for the season. He got placed on IR with an elbow injury that he suffered against the Cowboys. So, I mean, that's a huge piece that they're missing on the interior defensive line. So the Saints kind of lucked out there, but you got to take advantage. If you're not going against that stud, like, you got to get some run game going. You got to get this run game established against, once again, a poor defensive line.
You know, I mentioned, obviously, Nick Saldivari was out for this game, but I didn't mention the Saints put out a roster alert yesterday that he has been placed on injured reserve. The guard, unfortunately, dealing with a knee issue. We'll see if he's able to return at the end of the year, but highly unlikely for him. They said it was a pretty significant knee injury that he was dealing with. The team also signed wide receiver Kevin Austin Jr. and Dante Pettis to the active roster, and they have waived guard Kyle Hergel. Also an injury update. The team downgraded defensive Antonio Passanio for out for this game, so he wasn't even questionable, so my fault there.
Yeah, no, he's still coming off the Achilles injury. He may be returning later on. Potentially as early as next week. The window opened for him, but they're still, as you mentioned earlier, Steve, being very careful with him.
I was curious to see if maybe Tano could get on the field coming down the stretch here, just because the D-line has been really lacking in a pass rush and stopping the run, and I'm thinking any kind of
reinforcement,
you know, exactly, would help at this point. But it's questionable to see where he would fit in the rotation right now. You know, I'm still waiting to see a guy like, you know, Isaiah Foskey get in the mix more, but that just hasn't happened either.
Yeah, he would carve out a role for sure, a veteran guy, but at the same time, coming off a major, like an Achilles injury, it's not, you know, it's not a minor thing. So, yeah, give him some time, but he'll be back in. Once he is back, he definitely has a role on this defensive line because, I mean, yeah, as you mentioned, you're just kind of looking for a new face to kind of help things out because the defensive line has been one of the most disappointing parts of this team. The pass rush hasn't been good, and they haven't been good stopping the run.
And crazy, one of the most healthy.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why it's been so disappointing. So, but this is also not a good Giants offensive line.
Right.
Are you sensing a theme here? The Giants aren't good on the defensive line. They're definitely not good in the secondary. I remember we talked to Ryan Novinsky from NJ.com about this.
Yeah.
He said their secondary has just been awful. And they're without Deontay Banks, who's probably their top corner, even though he's kind of underperformed this year. He's been their corner one, though. But he's not going to be playing in this game either with an injury. So an already bad secondary is without probably their best guy. Now, they have a couple pieces on defense, young pieces that are going to develop into good players, like Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota, is something that Mike and I talked a lot about in the 2024 draft, pre-draft process, as some guy that we really, really liked. They scooped him up, so he's going to be good for them. But Deontay Banks out for this game as well. So that already kind of porous Giants secondary it's not going to be looking very good for this matchup.
You look at their, you know, the plus minus, the giveaway takeaway ratio is abysmal for them, and that's how you've, you know, you look at things. I think it's minus eight, minus nine.
Yeah, it's minus eight, which is 29th in the NFL.
Secondary, no interceptions this season, just the linebacker has the one pick that the Giants have far this year.
No, exactly. That's what I'm like. Their secondary is not very good, and they were hoping that Deontay Banks would be their number one corner. He's had kind of a down year. he was a former first-round pick. He's played pretty well in his career. But, I mean, they're without him as well. So who's going to be their cornerbacks in this game? Granted, the receivers that they're going against, you know, like Marquez Valdez-Scantling's really stepped up to be that wide receiver one for the Saints. But, I mean, outside of that, the receiving room leaves a lot to be desired without guys like Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave available.
Man, you mentioned MVS. Can he get a fourth straight game with a touchdown reception since coming to the Saints?
Yeah, keep on bringing those explosive plays, right? I mean, that's all he's done.
Definitely think Carr can test this secondary deep for sure.
Yeah, just throw it deep. I mean, Newbin's the one that you have to worry about at the safety position. But as far as the corners go, if MVS just does someone, yeah, give it to him deep.
I'm thinking, though, you mentioned obviously Alvin Kamara. I think he should have a pretty big game today. But if the Saints kind of have that foot on the gas for the most part, get a nice lead, a double-digit lead, I would hope you'd want to mix in a lot of Kendra Miller just to get him acclimated. I'm sure they're not going to give a ton of a workload to him, but he's got to be somebody, like you said, chomping at the bit. I've heard him talk about let the dog off the leash because everyone was joking about Darren Rizzi's got no doghouse. So yeah. I don't want to hear the excuses either of with whatever happened between him and Dennis Allen for him to go on injured reserve. Great, you're back now. Let's see it on the field, please.
Once again, the Saints are 5-point favorites on the road in this game.
Woof.
The Giants are not a good team. And they don't have a good run defense. So Alvin Kamara, yes, I agree that he's going to get the bulk of the load. I would like to see Kendra get a really solid, like, just workload today. Just how many carries will he get? I'm not exactly sure. But if Rizzi knows, I mean, they know how well he looked at practice throughout the week because obviously he's good to go for this game. I think he's going to receive some kind of workload here. And I really hope it's a solid one because the Giants' rushing defense is near the bottom of the league. What better game to get him back acclimated to things than this run defense?
And you know that, obviously, Taysom Hill on injured reserve. We don't have him in the mix. You have really used Jamal Williams limited this season, so I'm not expecting his workload to jump that significantly either. So Kendra Miller's that dude. Plus, he's your young prospect that you want to see more from. We've seen everyone's talking about you've seen the flashes on the field. He has been good when he's been in action. How can you just stay on the dang field?
You give those carries to Kendra 10 times out of 10 over Jamal Williams. I'm sorry. Like, that's the guy that you used a third-round pick on. That's the guy that you're still waiting. You've seen flashes from when he's been healthy. And that's the guy that you want to see more from. You
want
to see
if he can. Two games this year, sorry, he's averaging, what, 5.8 yards a carry?
Yeah, you want to see if he can do it consistently. You want to see if he can stay healthy throughout a consistent NFL workload. Yeah, you give those carries to him over Jamal Williams.
What you doing this morning, Who Dat Nation? 504-260-1870. Want to hear from you in the Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. And woo, hoping for a better outcome today than we had on the football field for the rest of Louisiana this weekend. Tulane, Louisiana Lafayette, and Southern all losing in their conference championship games. It was a rough one. And pile on to that, the Pellies. A loss last night, and a Brandon Ingram injury. So we need some good news today.
Yeah, please beat the snot out of this Giants team. Like, yes, we need some good news. I agree with you, Steve.
Taking a break on First Take. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're warming up here after a little bit of a cold spell. Got my coffee going and looking out, overseeing the Crescent City Connection here at the WWL studio. Getting ready for game day, a noon kickoff between the New York Giants, who play in New Jersey, against the New Orleans Saints. And I mentioned that just because it always bothered me as a kid. I grew up in Jersey.
Right.
And for whatever reason, both the Giants and Jets stadium is in New Jersey, yet they claim to be the New York team. It's like, we can't have one?
It's a really funny post I saw on Twitter the other day, Steve. It's just like, if Disney World is the happiest place on Earth, what's the saddest place on Earth?
MetLife Stadium.
And someone posted a picture of MetLife Stadium. Oh, man. New York football has just been down. You look at the Jets and the Giants. It's been rough.
Well, a big part of the Giants' issues are their head coach and general manager. Charlie, you talked to NFL insider Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL insider, on Tuesday about this. And let's get into it right away about you asking about this Giants team and their debacle all the way around from the front office to head coaching.
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane.
Yep.
I mean, they both make the hop over from Buffalo back in 2022. And I think Joe Shane's tenure has been pretty tumultuous, you would say. I mean, just ask Giants fans that get to watch Saquon Barkley every weekend in Philadelphia. And, you know, looking at Daniel Jones now on the street. Or he's in Minnesota now, my apologies. But you get my point here. It's been not the greatest tenure for Joe Shane early on. But looking at Brian Daboll, I want your thoughts on him because, you know, that first year he gets them to the playoffs and they beat Minnesota in the wild card round before losing to Philly, a better team. But at the same time, it almost kind of felt like a curse because at that point, I think that's the reason they maybe paid Daniel Jones that type of contract. And obviously that's gone completely south quickly. And just kind of the buzz about their job security for both of them. Brian Daboll as head coach and then Joe Shane as GM of the Giants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the whole way they handled Daniel Jones is a joke. And they handled the backup. I'd get benching him. You're going to bench him. That's fine. That doesn't bother me. But when you bench him and then the guy who played backup quarterback for you for 11 weeks in a row that would have gone in if Daniel Jones gets hurt, gets usurped in the pecking order by your third team quarterback who doesn't take reps during the week because your second teamer gets them, both as the second team quarterback and as the scout team quarterback, then all of a sudden he gets, you hand him the job because his name is Tommy Cutlets and he resonates with Giants fans. So you give him the job and you usurp the backup quarterback because your excuse is, well, he knows the offense better. Well, if he knew the offense better, he would have been your backup quarterback. Like that whole thing is such a debacle and it's an absolute clown show and it's embarrassing. And if I was a player in that organization and I was sitting in that locker room, I wouldn't trust anybody within the organization that runs it as far as I could throw them. And Dable's a friend of mine. And I just look at that and I don't know if that comes from Joe Shane. I don't know if it comes from Dable. I don't know if it comes from the owner. But it's a clown show. And, you know, and they come out and play after that, you know, and they're playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they just absolutely get throttled in that game.
They quit in that game,
30-7.
They quit in that game. I mean, you could see them specifically on defense, like they weren't trying to tackle or anything.
No, it was awful. From the word go, Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, blitzed them 75% of the time in the first half. And like I always joke around, you know, I was with the guys on the set of Breakfast Ball and they were like, you know, Malik Nabers is mad because, you know, he said, hey, they didn't give me the ball until the fourth quarter and, you know, we need to start the ball, get the ball in my hands. And I always joke around, the further you get away from the football, the less you actually know about the game. I go, why do you think a wide receiver didn't get the ball early? Because you're peeling the quarterback up off the turf every freaking play. They brought pressure. They jammed. They played man-to-man, brought pressure on just about on every 75% of the plays. They sacked him four times in the first half. They had him under duress the whole game. There's a reason you didn't get the ball, moron, because the quarterback couldn't throw the ball. Like it blows me away that you don't understand how the game works. 10 of the guys have to do their job for you to sniff the football. And when they're bringing pressure and you guys can't block them, you're not going to get the ball. Like the fact that it was an epiphany that all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, Malik Nabers, you started getting the ball when they called off the dogs. Yeah, you did start getting the ball. Like, come on, you guys. It's ridiculous.
NFL Odyssey insider Mark Schlereth is bringing the heat right there for sure. From the, like I said, the GM, head coach, and even Malik Nabers was not safe from Mark Schlereth's wrath.
So I think Nowak texted me this in the middle of the week when he was like listening to that audio. He's just like, because Schlereth went on a rant about receivers a couple weeks back.
Divas, right.
Yeah, he's just like, I wish I hated anything as much as Schlereth hates diva wide receivers or something. And it's so true because, you know, for those that don't know, after that game against, like, I think it was Tampa Bay that he was talking about, obviously Todd Bowles was blitzing, like, as he said, 75% of the time in the first half. And Malik Nabers after the game was just like, I can't do much if I don't get the ball. And he started getting the ball in, like, the fourth quarter. And that's where Schlereth went on that rant about Nabers. It's just like, they couldn't get you the ball, dude. What are you talking about?
He didn't have time.
Exactly. So, but going back to my point, you know, when I was asking Mark about Dable and Shane, it's been a really interesting kind of story to follow from the outside looking in. I can only imagine really how it is in New York, because when Dable and Shane both came over from Buffalo, Dable had a lot of the credit for making Josh Allen what he is as the offensive coordinator with the Bills. And if you look, Josh Allen's, if not the best, one of the best quarterbacks in football right now, obviously.
Agreed, right.
But it all kind of really started with Dable's tutelage. And so they bring Dable in, and that first year that he's there in New York is the year that they go to the playoffs. They go like 9-7. They make it to the playoffs, and they beat the Vikings on the road in the first round. They lose to Philadelphia in the next round, a much better team in that situation. But as I kind of mentioned in my question to Mark, it kind of felt like a curse, right? Because at that point,
exactly.
I think they felt obligated to pay Daniel Jones.
For sure. What are you going to do?
And Daniel Jones got a ridiculous contract from him, and it was never going to work out for how much they paid him. And then they let Saquon Barkley walk. And if you look at Saquon Barkley, what he's doing with Philadelphia right now, Steve, you know firsthand,
yeah.
like what he's, it's been incredible. He's an MVP candidate this year as a running back, which we almost never see. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a...
That's a huge thing, too, obviously. You, not only did you let Saquon go, but he went to a division rival, man.
Yeah, he went to a division rival. And then the situation with Daniel Jones this year, you paid him after that little playoff push that they went on. You pay him, and then you cut him this year. And now he's in Minnesota. And nobody picked him off of waivers, obviously, because his contract was that ridiculous. Nobody was going to pay that type of contract for Daniel Jones. Joe Shane's another interesting one, Steve, because his drafting has been kind of questionable. Like Malik Nabers, we just talked about, he's a stud. Even though he's kind of a diva, which it seems like all top wide receivers are, to be fair.
For the most part, yeah. The Saints are very lucky, I feel like. They don't really have that guy. I mean, Mike Thomas obviously used to be
Mike
that
Thomas
dude.
Definitely was that dude. But as far as his drafting recently, like Evan Neal has kind of been a disaster for them. Kayvon Thibodeau, who they took really early on, hasn't, like he's shown flashes, but he hasn't really panned out as like a top flight defensive end that they were
pretty
hoping
vocal dude too, though.
Yeah, I know. So they've had these top picks and some of them haven't worked out. Joe Shane's an interesting one though. Like I think if you're asking me what will happen, a couple of weeks ago, I felt that Brian Daboll was still safe. I thought he bought himself time with that playoff push in the first year. But you just watch, you know, it was better against the Cowboys because it's a division rival and you can always get up for that type of game. But if you watched what happened when they played the Buccaneers, Steve, they rolled over.
No, you mentioned it. The defense was like, I'm not making a tackle.
They rolled over in that game. And you'll see some of the plays. They're just like out there doing cardio. It's just like they're not playing football. And that was the point where it's just like, this team looks like it's quit on Brian Daboll. And now I'm not so sure that he's going to be safe. And if this Giants team completely bottoms out, which it feels like they're already, when we talked with Patrick Peterson about this on Friday, he said that they've already hit rock bottom. But if they completely bottom out and finish like 2-15, Joe Shane.
Clean that slate.
Joe Shane should be gone. And I think Brian Daboll's also going to be gone.
Sure. You make those sweeping changes. You're going to have likely the top pick in the NFL draft and, you know, see what you can do. Obviously, it's going to be curious, obviously, the draft time. Do you end up taking that QB? Is it going to be like a Shador going to the Giants?
Shador, I think, is going to go to Vegas. I think
that's what he's wanting.
Cam Ward would probably be the guy for the Giants. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shapes up because you still have Jacksonville that you're going to be contending with for that top pick and Vegas, who's going to be up in that number two, who the Saints play in a few weeks. So a few teams that are going to be up there trying to contend for a top pick. It's not the best quarterback class, but those two guys right there, Cam Ward and Shador, are probably the guys that are going to be top 10 picks at the quarterback position.
Speaking of QB classes, Quinn Ewers, woof.
Yeah. No, I mean, he came into the season.
Not a great showing yesterday.
Yeah, he came into the season with a lot of high expectations. And him and Carson Beck, I think both came in with really high expectations.
He got rocked.
Yeah, I know he did. But as far as like the seasons at a glance, I think there's probably only two first-round quarterbacks this year, as opposed to the six that we had in the top 12 last year. But this is going a little bit off on a tangent. I just think the Giants have a lot of holes to fill. Obviously, QB1 is the biggest one because it's the most important position.
Right.
So they'll probably draft a QB early on this upcoming year. But at that same time, I don't think it's going to be Joe Shane that's doing it. And I don't think it's going to be Brian Daboll that's coaching them. It just feels like the Giants at this point, if they end up going 2-15 this year, if they completely fall apart, it just feels like a time to clean house.
Be interesting to see if the Giants end up making a big power move. You've heard Bill Belichick interviewing with North Carolina. What if they decide, you know what, Bill, you can have total control, be GM/head coach, and, you know, make it work over here. Although we know Belichick's drafting has not worked well for the New England Patriots.
No, it hasn't either. So I think you would want to go younger, but who knows? I don't know what the Mara family wants.
Like you said, who knows? Because as Schlera said, what a clown show the franchise has been.
They're a mess. They're a mess right now. And all the statistics prove it. If you look at their depth chart, that proves it as well. They haven't drafted well. They haven't played well. They haven't coached well. Nothing's really gone right for this Giants team. And so for Saints fans, you're heading to MetLife Stadium feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what the game time temperatures are going to be like. We'll check in with our Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak in the next hour to find out how things are over there. I know he was spending time yesterday. He told me walking around the mall across from the MetLife Stadium, and he's like, you wouldn't believe it. There's a ski slope in here. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's in the Dream Mall of America or something.
A ski slope in a mall?
Yeah, they have a ski slope in there that they have for folks to, you know.
How big is it?
It's massive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
So it's like an entertainment complex as well they have.
Okay, I gotcha.
We're taking a break here on First Take. Want to hear from you as we get ready for a noon kickoff in New Jersey against the New York Giants. The Oaken Heart Jewelers talking text line is 504-260-1870. We'll be dipping back more into our sound bag right here on WWL's First Take after the break. Be right back. Yes, indeed, it is game day. You're hanging out with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown. The kickoff coming up with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and then kickoff in New Jersey against the New York Giants. A noon start with Mike Hawes, Deuce McAllister on the call. Also, Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak will be joining you then. Guys, something that we found out this week was that Cam Jordan has been nominated the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award from the Saints. Recognizes the player who excels on the field and demonstrates a steadfast commitment to creating a really positive impact beyond the game. That's all his work in the community. And if you don't know, folks, every single Tuesday, it's the Saints off day. And what is Cam doing? He's going to visit a school, talking to kids, and there might not just be one school in a day. He might take on two or three. Really amazing stuff this guy's done, and it's been since he's been in the league with the Black and Gold. Just someone that is so important to the team's locker room and obviously for the work he's doing for the New Orleans community. Here's what he had to say today, this week in the locker room, getting ready for the New York Giants, but really more about him and being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
I'm joking about it, but like, how many school visits do you think you've made over the years?
I don't know. I've been here for 14 years. Sometimes it happens off season, sometimes it doesn't, but I know for sure it happens on the off day of while I'm in season. So let's just call it 16 by 14, you know, with some 17s in there. Probably just over 200.
Is there a day where you just don't feel like doing it?
Isn't there a day that you don't feel like going to work, but you go to work? The answer is, yeah, on days that you're like broken and you're like, I'm barely getting out of bed. How do I start this day off? But at the same time, those kids bring energy back into your life. It's like having kids at the house, you know, when it's like they don't really care whether you, well, they care if you lost, but they don't care that, you know, what you're feeling like. You come in and bring in a positive message and a positive energy, you get something back out of it. So when I go in and we talk about leadership, and I go in and we talk about, you know, bullying, or we talk about academic success, and you give them a physical representation of what success can lead to, it wasn't, you know, that I had all A's until I got to high school, or the first time I brought home my first C, and my parents took me out of football alone, and it meant that much more to me to get back onto the field, or you know, just the success it was to be able to go to the number one public university in the nation, like the University of California at Berkeley. But it's the ideology that a positive impact can be created and you not know it. So 14 years ago when I was going to these schools, and it was like me and like Akeem Hicks, or me and, you know, Will Smith back in the day going to hospital visits or whatever it was, you don't realize what you've done until 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 14 years later. And you see, you know, those kids like, hey, man, you came and visited me when I was at my lowest point, or you came and talked to my classroom. And now that I, you know, I try and give back in this way, that those positive impacts help create everlasting positive impacts.
What was your genesis? Was it Steve, your dad?
Man, Steve or Anita, you know, when you have two parents that give so much, whether it's my dad, you know, he used to go to those football camps, and you like, you're like, you know, you go with them. You're like, why isn't my dad paying attention to me? Because he's paying attention to all these other kids. Or you know, you have all these friends in the world that come through your house, and your mom goes out of her way to feed them. She goes out of her way to drop food off to neighbors, to neighborhoods, to kids that she knows are struggling. When you have two parents that have giving hearts, you're just a byproduct. You know, and I feel like I'm sort of competitive in everything I do. When I have teammates like Tyrann Mathews and Demario Davis, and you look out into the league, and you got guys like Calais Campbell. Back in the day, you had what, Steve Smith giving out shoes towards kids about Carolina. It's like, man, whatever I'm doing, I feel like I'm not doing enough. So you start off the partnering with Crescent City Corps. You create, you know, a coalition of athletes, that you can mentor, and you go in through these schools and you pick up different mentees And you know, you feel like as they get to college, you can like, all right, you're grown now, go on, and they never leave. You realize that these positive impacts just sort of happen over time, but they're creating hopefully a better sense of community.
All around good guy, Cam Jordan there, speaking about being nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. And, you know, obviously he's not the same player right now that he once was, 34 right. years old. But, man, what a contribution he's had just to the team overall, the energy, the excitement that he brings to the locker room, and the work he does in the community, unmatched. And what a home run of a draft pick that this first rounder was for the Black and
yeah,
Gold.
Yeah, a future Ring of Honor for the Saints.
Absolutely.
Should be a future Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Cam Jordan. Yeah, fantastic stuff from Cam. I mean, Walter Payton, Man of the Year. The NFL always promotes it as, like, the most prestigious award. And it really is getting out, like, these players getting back to the community and stuff like that. And so Cam Jordan, 2024 nominee, Gail Benson sent out a press release saying, quote, Cam's dedication to this community has been evident since he became part of the Saints family 14 years ago. His true passion for helping people, especially our youth, shines through in everything he does, whether on or off the field. Cam gives his full effort. He's a respected 10-year team captain, a devoted husband and father, and a compassionate servant to our community, making him the model Saint. I could not be more proud of Cam and all that he has accomplished. So, I mean, that kind of tells you right there. Cam Jordan's the man, dude.
I'll just remember, too, you know, doing NFL draft night, and he, you know, gets selected by the Saints, and the excitement of him, you know, coming to New Orleans. You typically, you know, don't really hear that too much, but he was just all about, I can't wait to get down there and get to work.
It's a little bit different in football. You don't see as many people kind of sulking about where they get picked. It's
not like basketball.
Not like basketball. That's exactly what I was about to say, Steve.
Taking a break here on First Take. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, Cullen Steele bringing you till 10 a.m. That's when the Cajun Cannon takes over on the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff. We got a noon start today in New Jersey between the 2-10 New York Giants and the 4-8 Saints. Can they get that riz back this week after dropping a tough one to the Rams last weekend in the Week 13 matchup? We're in Week 14 already, folks, and NFL football getting closer and closer to the playoffs. We'll be back with more First Take right after this. Ooh-wee. We're back here on First Take, Saints game day, Week 14 action, gentlemen, getting ready for a noon start in MetLife Stadium against the 2-10 New York Giants. Saints looking to get back into the win column after falling last week at home to the L.A. Rams. Some of the other games in action today we're going to take a look at right now. Some of the early starts going on. Got the New York Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins. Interesting matchup there. Obviously, the AFC East has been pretty dismal, except for the Buffalo Bills. The Jets were expected to contend for that a title in there, but things have been so bad with Aaron Rodgers. And you saw that he's got a Netflix series. I don't know if it's out now or it's coming out, about his whole process and being at that getaway. I don't know if I really want to tune in or interested to see what's up with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm good. I can pass.
I wonder how Jets fans feel about that guy. It's been such a big disappointment. It goes back to what we were saying.
Right,
about,
do they want him back next year, the fans?
I would doubt it. But then again, like, what do? Do you take a quarterback in a bad QB class? Who knows? But it goes back to what I was saying, that post about the saddest place on earth is MetLife Stadium. I mean, New York football is really down, Steve. The Jets and the Giants. The Giants are 2-10, or the Jets 3-9. I mean, come on, man. 5-19 combined.
And they don't have Breece Hall today. He's out.
Yeah, it's bad. So, 5-19. Oh, man. Maybe think of the Pelicans for a second.
Oh. Looking at the other games in action in the afternoon, you got the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on that throughout the Saints matchup. 6-6 at the 10-2 Minnesota Vikings. One of the few times that Saints fans will be rooting for Minnie in this matchup. Curious to see how this one shakes out because, man, oh, man, Kirk Cousins last game was just throwing balls everywhere to the Chargers instead of to his own players.
And the Chargers' defense is really solid, so you got to give them a little bit of credit. But, man, Kirk Cousins looks bad. And so,
they're calling for the rookie over there, Penix.
I don't think they go to him.
Nah, you've invested too much in Kirk.
Exactly. Kirk. Right. But, if things kind of go in doubt with them winning the NFC South, like if Kirk has another really bad day and they just get throttled by the Vikings, Kirk Cousins' homecoming, by the way, to Minnesota,
yes,
in a rematch against his old team. That line is actually moved in favor of the Vikings. I remember when we did this pick during Pick 6 this past week, Steve, because we wanted to throw it in there, NFC South flavor as well. The Vikings were like 5.5-point favorites. Now they moved up to 6-point favorites against this Falcons squad, which doesn't sound like a big jump, but it is. Like the 6 and the 7, those right. are like a lot of money's coming in on the Vikings to just completely throttle the Falcons today. And Saints fans would obviously be very happy with that. But at the same time, one of the fans that when we picked the game is just like, this is the New Orleans hate bowl. I hate both of these teams.
3-9 Cleveland Browns are at the 9-3 Pittsburgh Steelers. 2-10 Jacksonville Jaguars at the 3-9 Tennessee Titans. Woof, I think that's the game that Schlereth is doing too, right?
Poor Mark.
He
gets some really bad games in some weeks, but no, Schlereth's the man. But he'll still make it entertaining. As far as the Jags go, I think Lawrence is done for the year. They might be in full-on tank mode for the top overall pick.
Another head coaching job that'll likely be up for grabs come the offseason. Who knows what happens with Doug Peterson.
Another GM job.
Right.
I mean, Trent Baalke, how many times has he gotten the first overall pick in the draft? I mean, Trevor Lawrence, Trayvon Walker, potentially this year. How many opportunities are you going to get to bite at the apple, right? So, yeah, that's another team that's going to be contending with the Giants and the Raiders for that top overall pick.
Yeah, the last noon game we care about, and you just mentioned them, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Woof, the Bucs get an easier matchup coming into this game. Interested to see what Baker Mayfield does. I know he's dealing with, he got banged up last game, had to leave a little bit. I think it's a hip and a knee, something like that that Baker's dealing with. But he was a full go at practice all week, so clearly not that serious for him. Mike Evans trying to get back on track. He needs, I think, 90-some-odd yards a game, 96 yards a game, thank you, Cullen, to get to 1,000 yards for the season, and he's had 1,000 yards receiving in every single year he's been in the NFL.
I will be putting on my Brock Bowers jersey today. No, I don't have one of those, but I do
you
love
wish
Brock.
You did, right?
Yeah, no, I love Brock Bowers. He's fantastic. So hopefully he can help the Raiders pull off an upset against the Buccaneers. Brock Bowers this year, Steve, by the way, 84 receptions first in the NFL among everyone. 84 receptions. So
I remember doing those mock drafts early on. We're like, could the Saints take Brock?
He's so good. 884 yards, which is fourth in the NFL. He's also got 4 touchdowns, 10.5 yards per catch. So Brock Bowers, I don't think he's – I said this on Monday last week. I don't think he's getting enough consideration for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, it's just kind of been given to Jaden or Bo Nix, which, granted, both of them have had fantastic years. But Brock Bowers is doing this as a rookie tight end.
Well, you know, it's all about the QBs, baby.
No, I get it. But, I mean, I just want to give him his flowers because he's been awesome this year. And obviously, as Saints fans, we're rooting for him to tear up that Buccaneers defense today.
Real quickly going through the 3 o'clock games, Seahawks at Cardinals, Bills at Rams, Bears at 49ers, and then a fun one tonight when we get off the air, guys. We got the Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, what will the NFL scriptwriters have in store tonight?
I'm rooting for the Chargers. I want to see,
I think so. Everybody
I want to see
is.
The Bills get that one seed. I mean, they should have lost to the Raiders. That was such a fluky win, among many fluky wins for this Kansas City team.
First hour of First Takedown, coming back with more after the top hour of news. Stay right here on WWL.